Hello, hello! Welcome back to the Feel Good Factor. I'm Susmita Veganosaurus and I'm so glad you could join me here today. Hey everyone! 50th episode! Woo! I am so happy! I can't believe it! It's a year since I started podcasting, and I've actually been fairly consistent, and you know, I it's like 50 episodes in a year is, it's like really, I'm surprised, and I'm like, wow, I actually did this, and I'm so grateful to everybody who's been listening, who's been sending me your feedback and saying how much you love the show, and also all of you who've been on the show with me, you know, as being interviewed, sharing your stories and then spreading the word. I'm so grateful to all of you for being here. As I told you last week, I have a very, very, very special guest today. I really wanted to have her here for my 50th episode, and I'm so glad she was able to make time and be here for this. She is my friend, she is my mentor, and she is the inspiration for me to get into the world of podcasting. So here we have Allison Melody of Food Heals. Hey, hi, Ali.
Hi, Susmita, and congratulations on 50 episodes. I know we're on two separate continents right now, but I am cheersing you from 12 hours away, and I'm so proud of all that you've done in such a short time, and I love your podcast and all that you're doing in the world to spread the plant-powered message. So I'm honored to be here.
Thanks, Ali. Thank you so much, and you have helped me a lot on my journey too. You have not just been the inspiration. I can still remember the first time I listened to a Food Heals episode and the way it made me feel. Like there was potential. I felt like there was so much potential that I needed to tap into, and there's so much I could do in the world. And just one episode and I was that inspired. And then getting to meet you in Italy in person and, you know, seeing what a lovely human being you are and how kind and loving, and then being on Rise and Bloom, your mastermind all year, and how much that has helped me grow on this path of not just podcasting, but so many other things that I do. I'm so, so grateful for all of that, Ali.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so honored to be a part of your world, and I'm so glad I got to meet you in Italy, and we just had the best time, and having you in Rise and Bloom has been incredible to watch everything that you've created. I'm honored to be your friend.
Thanks so much, Ali. So, you know, first, let's give a bit of background about yourself, you know, so people get to know in case they don't know about you already. They need to know more about you, your story, and you are a podcaster, but beyond that, there is so much you do. You teach, you guide people, you coach. And I mean, like, there are like so many things. And you are a master of business creation. Like, you get all these ideas, you put them into place. And that is so inspiring. So what makes you you, and what makes you do all these things?
That's a good question. I think for myself and for many of the people that I work with, what happened is they went through an experience that changed their life, and they realized that they wanted to help others who had been in that situation. And so, you know, my story, but just for your listeners, I was in college, and my mom was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis when I was in high school. And then in college, it turned into a cancer diagnosis. And this was in North Carolina, small town. We didn't know anything about green juice, holistic health, or certainly anything about what a plant-based diet was. And so our health wasn't something that was in our own hands. Nutrition wasn't something that we talked about or had any knowledge of. And so when she was diagnosed, we did the typical traditional medical route. And unfortunately, my mom didn't make it. And in a few short years, she passed away from cancer. And I graduated college just so like heartbroken that I thought that I lived in this advanced Western medicine society where we had come so far in medicine and technology and all of the things and science. And I was wrong. And I could not believe that Western medicine had completely failed my mother and that the doctors had no answer and certainly no mention of nutrition or mind, body, spirit healing. And shortly after, just a few years later, my father was then also diagnosed with cancer, and he only lasted about 6 months. So by the time I was 25 years old, I was orphaned. And I had no brothers, you know, no sisters, no family left. My parents had been only children as well. And I just was like, how did this happen? Why aren't people talking about cancer? Why aren't people talking about chronic disease? And there has to be a better way to heal the body. And so I just went on this mission, Susmita. As you know, I just started meeting people and attracting people left and right, and people who were drinking the green juice and on plant-powered diets and were healing their emotional childhood trauma and all of these things that showed me a new way of looking at the way that we heal ourselves. And I learned that this key thing, which is why I built Food Heals, and that is the body is designed to heal itself when we give it the tools it needs to do so. So whether we're choosing medical treatment or not, we have to be feeding our bodies with so much good food and nutrition and not fast food and not garbage and learning our food allergies and sensitivities so we can eat optimally for our own beings, our own bodies, and give it the nutrition it needs. And then, you know, secondary to that, of course, is the mind, body, spirit approach. What are you telling yourself every day? How do you feel about yourself? Have you healed your childhood trauma? Are you angry? Are you sad? Are you depressed? All of these factors we now know, or I now knew, that cancer was multifactorial, and things like sugar fed tumors. And in the hospital, it would be like, hey, what do you want tonight for dinner or for dessert? Cake or ice cream? And so we're sitting there while she's getting treatment in the hospital, feeding the tumor. So it made no sense. And that just sparked this mission. And I was like, what happened to me doesn't have to happen to anyone else. And you know, it's still happening, but I'm on a mission to help anyone who wants to listen know that they can heal themselves and that there is another additional route. And there is a lot of alternative medicine healing protocols that are working for cancer and chronic disease that your doctor may not be telling you, not because they are not good people, but because they are not trained in nutrition.
Yeah, it's quite sad what's happening and the lack of awareness. But, you know, people like you, people in the wellness industry who are looking at things from a holistic way. And, you know, you do so much work. There's so much amazing information on your show. Like you said, it's not just for the health in terms of body, but the mind, body, spirit, you know, that whole aspect. And I really resonate with that. And it has surely helped so many people. You know, it's like a true story of like an inspiring, powerful story of pain to purpose, what you have done. You know, you've taken your own tragedy, what you have gone through in life, and then you just turned this around to help people so much. You've taken it on as a mission and done it with a vengeance. And I know that even with your business building, again, it comes from your own position of like not having anything, not having anyone to guide you through it. And then, you know, you are a self-made woman. You have built your business yourself from scratch. It's not easy at such a young age. You've lost your parents and you've lost, and you don't have other extended close family members. And you were all on your own. How did you manage?
Girl, I ask myself that same question every day. No, I think it's like when you're in those situations, when you're in your darkest moments, you find your strength because you have to. And when you're so low, the only place that you can go is up. And so I was 25 years old. I had lost both of my parents. And then the second part of the story is that their estate was completely mismanaged by the person that they left in charge. And so my dad had a lot of property and he had a business that he was running. He was in real estate. He was an attorney. And the business was supposed to, and all the homes, I was supposed to get everything. I was the sole heir of the estate. And the estate was completely mismanaged by someone. So I ended up, after a few months of fighting, with absolutely nothing and no money to even pay a lawyer to help me. Because I knew nothing about estates or wills or business. I was a 25-year-old girl who had just graduated college and, you know, worked at the local news station. I wasn't a business person at all. And I was also too distraught with pain and anguish and depression over my parents' death to even figure out how to deal with it. It was just too painful. So I remember I was literally moving to California. And I got to Cali and I started meeting a few people who had healed themselves of chronic disease. And I was like, I got to do something about this. I've got to spread their message. So I started doing video production because that was my major in college. And I had worked on sets and film sets in North Carolina. And I had done some video production for clients and wedding videos, stuff like that. So I knew how to shoot videos. I had DSLRs back then before we had iPhones that do everything. I had lighting. And so I would just film their stories. And I started putting them on YouTube and I started blogging, but it wasn't having the effect that I wanted to have. It wasn't moving the masses. It wasn't reaching hundreds of thousands of people or lots of downloads. You know, it was just a failed blog that no one read. And I remember I was negative in the bank when I got my first like real paying film production client in the health and wellness world. And off of that client, I was able to build and scale my business to the video production company that I had for almost 15 years. And that was because I just had an unwavering belief in what I was doing. And the fact that if I could have people pay me to help them get healthy, that could be my career and that could be what I dedicated my life to. But it took a long time to get there. Mm-hmm. And there was definitely scary moments along the way, for sure. I'm not saying it's easy, but I just found that inner strength. And when you get that low, most people, I believe, have that within them. I believe everyone does. It's just, are you going to figure out how to utilize it?
That's very powerful. And a lot of people, it's not easy to tap into that strength, that inner strength that you're talking about. There is always the other option where you just want to give up and everything is going wrong, one thing after another, another. So what advice do you have for people and how they can actually tap into that no matter what happens? Because yours is not like an overnight success story. You have built it, you have made it happen, and you have followed that, you know, your instinct or your passion to help people. You're like, okay, this, you know, moves me. This is what I want to do in my life. And you just didn't go and, you know, try to work in a corporate job or anything that pays to just get by. You went hunting for the kind of work which would actually fulfill you right from the beginning. And that's at such a young age, like in your pre-30s, it's not so easy to have that kind of clarity with what you want to do in life. So how do people tap into that? How do people find that?
You know, I don't know how I did it back then, because now I have tools and I love my tools. And I know that there are things that you do too, like meditation, like inner child work, and just really, really getting quiet, where I've been such a doer my whole life. I love crossing off to-do lists. I have that type A personality that just wants to get things done, which has served me very well. But very often what they find is that extreme type A's and that perfectionism mentality is actually a result of unsolved, unhealed trauma. It's a trauma response. I didn't know any of this. So in the beginning, it helped me because I wasn't going to give up. I have always been an eternal optimist, and I think that comes from my parents. They had a wonderful marriage. They were always happy. They always saw the glass full, or whatever you want to call it. And so I did have that internal optimism. I wasn't a Debbie Downer or a negative type of person, so that certainly served me. And then it was just like, okay, you got to do this or you die. It was do or die. So honestly, when I started hustling for my career, it was out of necessity and fear. And now I try to do it out of love and excitement and the underlying belief that the more that I can put out in the world, the more people I can serve and help. And so it is interesting that I've kind of come full circle. Now, it doesn't mean I still don't have my to-do list and I am very much an action taker, but I also make sure to make time for self-care, which I didn't do for a while, which is not healthy. But now I'm all about my massages, my running, my self-care time, my exercise routines, my breath work, my meditation. And so you asked what advice I would give, and it's like, hey, don't do what I did and do it out of fear. Do the hustle out of love and things will come faster to you when you take the more I get in quiet, the more productive I can actually be, which I used to think was the opposite. Like if I wasn't doing something, then I was not in a good place because I would be worried and fearful. And so I had to do things in order to not feel those feelings. And that's also a trauma response that I no longer subscribe to. And when I feel that happening, I'm aware and I can recognize it and I can go, nope, we're not going to do that. It's like when you take a negative thought and you change it to a positive thought or something like that, you just become really, really aware of your patterns so that when you see the old ones creeping back up, you can go, nope, that's not how this is going to work. Instead of obsessing about the to-do list, I'm going to go do a guided meditation, right? So that's kind of my advice, is to really go inward and get quiet and let the negativity pass so that the positivity and the excitement for what you're doing can really come in.
You know, you were talking about being an eternal optimist, and yes, you know, that is one of the most inspiring things about you. You look at the positive things and you shine light, you make people look at things in a positive way too. You know, you inspire people to do so. And like you said, you know, you got it from your parents, and it makes a big difference, right? That if that is instilled, optimism is instilled in people at a younger age, it stays with you. Then as you grow older, no matter what happens, you somehow tend to, you start looking for the brighter side always. Like whatever happens, you are like looking for it. You're like, okay, there is a brighter side to this. Where is it? Right? That tends to come up. You know, how do you feel like, okay, if somebody is not, we've been fortunate that, okay, at a young age, we've been instilled, you know, with this optimism. In my case, in my parents, particularly my mother, she will try to find the humor in anything. So my sister and I are like that. Whatever horrible stuff is happening in life, we'll somehow start giggling and laughing because we'll find something funny in it, or we'll find the positive, and somehow, you know, we get over it. And that's because, yes, it's been instilled at a young age. But what if people haven't been fortunate enough to have a role model who teaches them to be optimistic at a younger age? Do you have any advice on how they can change their mindset now and how they can practice looking? Because it is still a practice, it is still a habit, and anybody can finally learn to do that, right? So how do they teach themselves to start looking on the brighter side and focusing on the good despite whatever is happening in life?
Yeah, I think they just need to hang out with more people like you, because we tend to adopt the qualities of the top five people we spend the most time with. So what happens is, if we spend a lot of time with other people who are constantly in negativity or playing the victim mentality, it enhances our ability to do that. So if we're with negative people all of the time, it's only strengthening our negative beliefs about ourselves and the world and what's happened to us and the victim mentality. And so it's really, surround yourself with positive people, because that energy will absolutely run off and it'll go both ways and you can rise together, right? It's like, I know you, you're exactly what you said. It's perfect that that's what you and your sister did because of what your mother did. Like, she instilled that happiness and giggliness in you, and you're so giggly and you're so positive and you're such a bright light. And so it's like, yeah, surround yourself with people who take the lighter side of life, and it will start to rub off. And maybe at first you're going to have animosity, you're going to feel angry towards them, but that will dissipate. Honestly, watch funny movies, surround yourself with people who are eternal optimists, and you will start to shift. Where it works. And plus, if you do some meditation, I do a lot of dance also. And this is like, I some days I want to film it because it's so outrageous. I just play my silly songs. One of them, I think you know, is Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. I'm in a bathrobe and I'm shaking it off, and my dogs are looking at me like, what is she doing? This girl has lost her mind.
I think you have to film this. We all need to see this. Really. It would be like a superb Insta story, reel, whatever, you know, or live, where people can join you also. Maybe like a bathrobe dance evening kind of a thing, you know. Everybody wears bathrobes and then dances together.
Seriously, I know. It could be a big Zoom call. I love it.
I absolutely agree with you that we need to surround ourselves with more uplifting people, more positive energy. Like I said, even whether it's people, whether it's what you're watching, the content that you're consuming, that is so important also, right? If you're watching the news and the doom and the gloom all the time, then you just get into that, like you get into that cycle. So the same way, you listen to positive messages, positive speakers, people who are uplifting and teaching you to look at things on the brighter side, that is going to help you too. But what about, you know, see, of course, so if positive people only surround themselves with positive people, who's going to help the ones who are, you know, the Debbie Downers? So what advice do you have for people who are upbeat, positive, who try to like to focus on the, you know, optimistic side of things? How do they include? Because for me, that is the thing. I can see that if somebody is very negative around me, I try to kind of stay away from them or don't spend too much time with them. That tends to happen because that I don't want to be brought down by it. But then who helps them or how do you help them?
One of my biggest life's lessons is that you cannot help everyone. And that's the hardest thing, because if you are an empathic person who feels other people's energies as you are, as I am, then you feel the need to help because you know that you can. Yeah. However, if they are not in the place to receive, there is nothing that you can do. And I'm not trying to be negative here. This is why I started the podcast, because here I was like, everyone wants to know that dairy is linked to breast cancer, right? Everybody wants to know there are toxins in our soil and food supply. Everybody wants to know that the plant-based diet is the most anti-cancer diet out there. Everybody wants to know that sugar, that cancer feeds on sugar. Susmita, no, they didn't. A lot of people didn't want to know.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, shit. Like, excuse my French, but like, okay, so I can't help everyone. So that's why I created a platform for the people that I can help. And when they're ready, they will listen. And the right people will be attracted to my message. As long as I am spreading the message that I want to spread, the right people will be attracted. And it may not be your best friend. It may not be that family member that you want to stop eating that fatty food because they have a fatty liver or whatever it might be. When I told my dad that, one thing that I did do at the end of his life before I really got deep into this is I found a holistic doctor. There was one in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He lived in the woods. He wasn't in a white coat. His house smelled like patchouli. Like, it was, to my father, a baby boomer, a joke. And this holistic doctor said, yes, the body can heal itself. And I have helped thousands of people reverse cancer all the way up to stage 4 cancer, who have been given 6 months to live. I've seen them go into remission. Here's how you do it. Herbs, cleansing, all the things. My dad was like, thank you very much. Here's your $100 and we're out the door. And I started making him the garlic shakes and the green juices and doing all the things. And he sat me down and he said, Allie, I don't believe in this. And if I don't believe in this, it's not going to work for me. And the hardest thing I ever did was accept that that's what he wanted to do. And so I had to let my father die his way. And his way was not Allie approved, because it was drinking and smoking and eating bad foods and partying until he died. You know what I mean? But he was surrounded by friends and he made the best of it. So who am I to judge? But that's the biggest lesson is you ask, how do you help the people who might be in negativity? Until they're ready, you can't. And that is the hardest life lesson. And then you can't be in guilt, shame, or blame about it. You have to let that go. So after my father died, I had to do a lot of forgiveness work. I had to forgive him for not listening to me. I had to forgive myself for not saving him. So the truth is that when you're in a place of suffering, of depression, of trying to help others, the only way to get out of that is forgiveness. Forgiveness of yourself, forgiveness of those who have perceived that you've perceived have wronged you. Forgiveness literally opens the door to freedom. I'm going to say that again. Forgiveness opens the door to freedom. So if you can't change someone, you have to let it go. And that's the only way that you later, they may come back and go, hey, Susmita, hey, Allie, remember that thing you were talking about 3 years ago about this vegan diet? like, I don't feel so well. I think I'm ready to try it. I've been reading some things in some magazines where my friend told me this. And you're like, yeah, I told you that 3 years ago, but they couldn't hear it then. So take the attitude out of it and give them so much love and help. And you know what? The right people will be attracted to your message and you're going to help so many people. And if you can't help everyone, you have to let it go because it's not their path. And that's not for you to decide what their path is.
That is such sage advice. I mean, it's hard, right? It's so hard to actually accept this because you feel like, oh no, I'm not helping everybody and am I being selfish and I'm not putting myself out there and putting them onto this positive thing that is going to help them so much. And you know, this whole thing about forgiveness and not feeling guilty and not taking responsibility for somebody else's life, that is so hard to do. And like you said, type A more so, empaths more so, you feel this way. But it's so true. What you said makes so much sense, that you put your message out there and the right people will come, and whoever can be helped, you'll be helping them. It does. You can't control who you're helping and who you're not. And you know, that brings me to this thing of attracting the right people. And you are again a pro at this, you know, something I really admire about you, because I like doing this myself too. But you're, you know, with years of connections, you're doing this where you always have the right connections. You are able to connect people to each other, bring people whose energies resonate with each other. You know, you're a pro in creating these support groups. And with Rise and Bloom, which is your mastermind group, which I've been a part of all year long, it is one of the most supportive set of people that I have ever come across. You're bringing these kind of people together and you're so good at it. So how has it been like creating the mastermind? How has it been that you have managed to get the right kind of people into it? Because You know how it is with a group. Even one person or two people who are downers can bring the whole group down, bring in negativity. So how do you make sure the positivity is getting into your group like this?
For sure. Well, I'm not 100% sure, but I will say I do believe that your vibe attracts your tribe. So if I am vibrating at a certain frequency, there are only certain people who can receive it. If they are so low, they're not going to be able to receive it. But if they're vibrating at a frequency around the same frequency as I am, then they're going to be able to receive it. And I'm going to be able to receive from them. And I know it sounds a little woo-hoo, but I truly believe it because...
Not at all woo-woo. I agree with this.
I think I even talked about this on the last monthly mastermind in December, where it's like, what we were just talking about, you can only help the people who want to be helped, who are vibrating at the frequency of being able to receive. And so that's why I'm not going to attract a group of people that aren't going to mesh together. Now, it doesn't mean everyone's going to be best friends, but it really is a supportive community. And the more that I put out there of what I want to attract and shine my light, then it allows other people to shine their lights. It allows other people to grow and change and shift. And same with, you know, the people that I surround myself with. It's like I am able to up level because I surround myself with people who are up-leveling and are super positive and are on this journey to learn and grow and change. And like, we're all self-help gurus. We're like, how can we improve our lives? How can we help others? How can we serve? And if I surround myself with other people who are asking the same questions that I am, then there's no reason that I'm going to attract negativity or low vibration people into my life. Do you know what I mean?
No, that makes so much sense. You know, so recently after being on your group, I got inspired to come up with all these different kinds of mini coaching sessions, mini small group coaching sessions and things like that, which I had no idea about until, you know, you spoke about all these and I'm like, oh my God, I can do this. I can do this. You know, I had all these ideas. So recently, a few weeks ago, I created this mini group coaching, small group coaching session for building your ideal client avatar, right? So this is where, you know, again, which I can't stress enough how much of an inspiration you and the group has been for me, because these are small things like building your ideal client avatar is just one tiny piece of your business, but it is such an important piece, right? Like, and you can actually build a whole workshop around it.
Yeah.
That kind of inspiration is what I got. So I created the Ideal Client Avatar Workshop. And I'm like, oh, I'm doing this. I hope the group is going to be, you know, positive and they're going to be right for each other. And, you know, because you have this one person who, you know, I've had this happen with the cooking classes some time ago. And now that I come to think of it, in the more recent years, as I, like you said, as my vibration started going up, I only attracted the best people even for the cooking classes, like the more positively vibrating people or people who are receptive to it. But yeah, I've had people who've taken the whole class off track with all questions and then just putting everybody else's, what do you say, their vibes off also. So I was a little worried, like, okay, what's going to happen with the small group session? I hope I attract the right people and all that. Ali, it was so meta. So I had two people join the class and both of them were my ideal clients. It turns out. So I'm like, you two, and they loved each other and they connected with each other. We had a 2-hour session, and you know, the session was scheduled to be 2 hours long, but the three of us were chatting so much it went on for a whole extra hour and we didn't feel it. We loved it. It was so good. So it's not woo-woo. I know what you're saying. I totally resonate with this. It's all about, you know, again, coming back to yourself, going within and then uplifting yourself and taking care of yourself, and then everything else kind of falls into place around you. I so believe that.
Yeah, I'm with you. And what a brilliant workshop idea. Everyone needs to know who they're talking to, because like we were saying, there's only a certain amount of people and personality types that you can help. And so let's make sure that we're attracting them and not the people we can't, because then no one's winning. At least if you're able to understand who your ideal client is, who the ideal person is that you can serve, then you're able to attract them and help them. And that's what this is all about. That's why you do what you do. That's what I do what I do. That's what the members of the mastermind are setting out to do, is to get the world to be a healthier place, one person at a time.
Yeah, yeah, so true, so true. You're right, you know, all the members of the mastermind are doing this, you know, this kind of work. Again, though it is, okay, it is, you do say to some extent wellness entrepreneurs, but you're like not so particular about that. You're like, okay, entrepreneurs who want to grow and who want to help each other and rise together. But for the most part, most of them are all into wellness. Everybody who's there in some form or another, they're all there to help each other, help other people in the world, right? They are, again, going out. So it's a ripple effect that is getting created by this. So what gave you the idea of a mastermind? And, you know, how did you go about building that? How long has it been going on for?
I think about 5 years now we've been going strong. Wow. So I think this will be the 6th year. And, you know, or at least we've been 5 iterations, because not all of them were a year. There was a couple that were 6 months. So I should probably get my facts straight before I answer that question. I'll look it up.
Let's say 5 rounds of it.
Yeah, I mean, what happened for me was I built the podcast Food Heals. And when I did that, I went from being that failed blogger that I told you about earlier, where I had a blog that no one read and videos that no one watched, to really building an audience. And all of a sudden, I had clients and friends and fans and followers and people who wanted to hear what I had to say. And that was when everything changed for my online business, because before I was still doing the video production business, which I'm still very proud of, and it was highly successful. But once I was able to truly find my tribe through the medium of podcasting, I was blown away by the results. And at the same time, with the blog and the videos, I just put up the blogs and I put up the videos and I waited for the people to come. With the podcast, I did a very different tactic. I studied marketing. I learned from the best. I got my own mentors. So when I started with a bang, and I invested in the business. And so I was able to garner, you know, I was sponsored by the first month. I was monetized by the second month. And by the third month, we had 100,000 downloads, which is really unheard of in the podcasting space, especially at that time. So I was creating this, you know, self-sustaining business that was making money, that was helping people, that people were really resonating with. And what happened was people were just like, how'd you do that? I want to learn. And after enough coffee and wine dates, just me, that you get exhausted and you're like, no, you can't take me out to dinner and pick my brain, but you can join my group. And I will privately coach you, or you can be in a group coaching session. So I started And I had been a member of multiple masterminds as a student, and they had helped me so much realize what my potential was. And I loved bouncing off ideas and the support that the masterminds had brought me. And so the thought to lead my own mastermind came out of necessity because I had so many people asking me, how'd you do that? I want to build that too. And I was like, I want to help you build that. Now, I can't help you sell cars because that's not my area of expertise. But if you're in the wellness world and you have the passion to help others in some way, I can help you build that business authentically because I've done it. I believe in it. I've seen it worked for so many people now. And I just want to encourage people that if this is something you're passionate about, there's no reason you can't do it. And so many people are out there going, I can't charge for this. This can only be like my side thing, my side blog, my side video series, my side Instagram, my side podcast. And if that's what you want and you love your full-time job, great. I'm happy for you. But if you have a mission and a message for the world and you want to be a bigger platform and you want to be the go-to person, and it's not about fame, but it's about being the go-to brand or the go-to person in some sort of wellness place where you are helping others, I believe that you can and should do that. And I believe it's your life's purpose and calling. And I think there are more people who need our help than there are people helping people. So in that respect, there's way less competition than you might think. Plus, it's like when you have a mission, you're driven by something greater than yourself. You're driven for the greater good. And I think that informs the way that you show up. And that is the people like you who show up so authentically and share their story and are giggly or whatever your personality is, just comes out. And people follow people, right? People want to buy from people and work with people who they know, like, and trust. And so I'm all about authentic brand building. And then people who are in helping people get over imposter syndrome or the thought, I can't accept money for helping people, because that's something that's ingrained in a lot of us. Like, you can't accept money for your
gifts. True. That's something that people definitely need to get over, because especially if it's something you love and you want people to follow it, say, for example, in my case, it would be veganism, right? Yeah. So you want more people to go vegan, and then, you know, how do you get over this thing of, oh, but I shouldn't charge people for it? But if you don't charge people for it, how many more people can you reach with the limited resources, right?
Exactly. Yes. And I always argue, you know, there are companies and corporations making billions of dollars off of keeping people sick. So why shouldn't we be making billions of dollars getting people healthy? That is what the world needs right now. They need our help. They need people like you who are like, here's how to go vegan. Here's how to find your client avatar. Here's how to do all the things. People who are helping people in any way, mind, body, and spirit, are the next generation of leaders. I guarantee it. Everyone is sick of this negative, sad world. They are sick of the politicians. They are sick of the lies. They are sick of, you know, the jokes who are representing us in all of the places in government, and they're ready to rise up, and we are the leaders that will help them rise up, because everyone has to put their health first so that they can, health and wealth, you know, go hand in hand. But if you don't put your health first, you can't do anything good in this world, and people are ready to get healthy. You know, with the virus going around, it's like, why not teach people how to boost their immune system, and let's just supercharge our health right now. That is the number one thing that we can do, is help people do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, you, again, there is something more there about how it's so important to value yourself and value your time. Like how you said, you know, instead of, okay, yeah, sure, you know, take me out to dinner and then pick my brain. Fair enough, to some extent, that is okay. But after a certain point of time, there is a lot more to your time than that, right? Yeah, you can keep doing that, but how can you keep doing more of that? The only way is to actually come up with a system to charge people. And of course, you are a master of giving so much value, Ali. So here's the thing. I've never been part of any masterminds or, you know, coaching sessions and all before that much. It's only this year, you know, staying home and having had a chance to do this. And so when I have watched your sessions, whether it's in the mastermind, which is our monthly coaching call, but also all the bonus sessions or the free sessions that you do for others, while whenever you come up with an interesting coaching program or something, you always do a very, very, very informative free session prior to that. So people are aware of what's going to be a part of that larger coaching program. And there is so much value you know, I was watching yours and then you are the baseline. the way you provide value is the baseline for me. So I'm like, okay, everyone's going to do that. Awesome. And then I had taken one of these courses, one of these free sessions on, I think, Teachable Discovery, or one of those where they had somebody talking about sourdough bread or something like that. And I'm like, I started watching that and I'm like, oh, yes, value, you know, and then maybe I can take the course later. It's the three sentences that they had said to describe the course. It was just that being repeated through the whole 1 hour session of the program. I'm like, what, you know? So you over deliver, like you do that. And I love that, because then you are fulfilling this, because ultimately you're doing this to help people. The monetary thing is because we need to live in this world. And of course, we need to earn well. And
we got to pay the rent.
And pay the rent, exactly. So we're like, okay, you know, I need to cover all this and also be able to spoil myself and love myself. Therefore, I will charge my worth, my value. But when I do charge, I give so much more. And I love that attitude that you have. And I'm so inspired by that. And I always make it a point to put that into my sessions too. I'm always like over delivering because you have inspired me, you know, like, okay, this is important to do that. So that is a great way, right? People, instead of saying, oh, I won't charge for this, I'll do this for a free, charge for it and then add a lot of free information in there, right?
Yeah. And well, thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate it. And, you know, even though it's like the Rise Mastermind, we have multiple facets of or parts of what we do, but it's the 2 hours that we meet per month. I spend days coming up with the trainings for that. Mm-hmm. So it's like I am putting in my heart and soul. And so when you think about your value, people might think, how can I charge, you know, X amount of dollars for a 1 hour coaching call or something like that? And they're not taking into the account, hey, it took me years to get to this place, right? That's what the people are paying for. I had to get this degree, or I had to get this life lesson. And then I'm doing all the research now to stay on top of what's going on, how to motivate people, what's going on in the online space. And so you have to take that into account when you think about your pricing, because you're not just pricing for 1 hour, you're pricing for all of the time and knowledge and things that you have gained over the year. So in that respect, it's like you probably should be charging more than you are, because it's not about the 1 hour you're with the client or the clients if you're doing a mastermind. It's about all the time leading up to that. It's about the trauma you went through. It's about that degree that you got, whatever it might be. It's about the research that you spent doing up until this one call. It's about the emails that you answered for hours for free, right? And so when you think about your pricing that way, it really helps you be able to determine a price where you can actually go, oh, I feel much more comfortable charging more, because it's not about the hour of my time. It's about the years that I dedicated to become the expert in this space. That is what my clients are paying for. So it kind of reframes it and makes people feel better about charging what their true value is.
Oh, I love that. That is, you know, that is such a good way to look at it, because often we learn something and then we like to teach it. And of course, everybody who's teaching and helping each other, it's because they love teaching too, right? It's not just passionate about their cause. It's also because, oh, I love teaching. It brings me so much joy and lifts me up. And then people are thinking only of what it's giving to them. And they're like, oh, I know all this. So I'm teaching it anyway. So what's the big deal? But what you said, you know, it took you years to know all this, to reach this point, to remember that, you know, value that. Because then, you know, you're valuing and you're actually showing gratitude to the life lessons that you have learned all along, right? You are actually valuing that when you price it or when you charge for that. So it's so true. Like, I love that, what you said about this. It's like a great way to look at it. And in fact, I have my clients who ask these kind of questions, you know, the coaching clients who are like, can I charge this way, or is it okay? And I feel good. But then you are right. You know, this is, it took you years to come to this point. So use that. Use your experience. The Rise Mastermind so it started off as Rise and Bloom, and this year now for 2021 you'll be calling it Rise Mastermind.
Yeah.
So what's the reason you changed the name, by the way? I wanted to ask you that.
I'm always pivoting based on market research and mm-hmm. asking people for opinions. Like, I think I'm a very strong believer in building a business you're passionate about, but also making sure that you can solve the problems of your clients. And so I'm always going, how does this feel? How does this resonate? And so the research that I did over the past year showed me a few things. One is that Rise and Bloom did resonate with quite a few people. Obviously, you guys are in it and you love it. But the problem was with the word bloom. And so for men, it was a complete turnoff because it sounded like a woman's word. So at a conference, like first thing a guy literally told me is like, yeah, I wouldn't join this. This is for chicks. And I was like, you're not my ideal person, but okay, I get it. And then I started getting more and more feedback as I opened it up to more people of intelligence whose opinions I actually cared about. And then the second part of it was that bloom is a word that was associated with women coming into their womanhood. So blooming. And so, you know, you're not the first to ask me from this group why I changed it. One of my OGs, Chris, was like, do I have to change my t-shirt? Because she got a Rise and Bloom t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. She's like the biggest fan of, yes.
And I'm like, no, you don't have to change the t-shirt because it'll always be Rise and Bloom to us. But as I pivot and grow, and if I want to keep this around for years to come, I need to appeal and attract people. And I want, it's not a women's only mastermind. We are primarily women. However, I love working with men and getting the male perspective on things. I think it's very important for women business owners to understand the male's perspective. And so I do want to be able to attract more men in the future. And I don't want anyone to think of it as, you know, a teenage girl getting their period. So that is why I changed it this year.
Okay, now that makes sense. So it's more about reaching out to a wider audience base, and that makes absolute sense because, yeah, like you said, it's always going to be Rise and Bloom for us. And literally, I can say that I have risen and I have bloomed being part of the mastermind. The other blooming happened years and years ago, but you know. my solopreneurship has bloomed, I could say.
Yes. Oh, maybe gosh. I can think of a better word than bloom. Maybe I'll come up with that for 2020.
I don't know. Just keep this. I mean, you know, let it be whatever Rise Mastermind for when men join, but it will be Rise and Bloom for all of us for sure.
For all of you guys, yes. For all of my originals, it is still Rise and Bloom. For new people, it'll be Rise, and we'll just see what happens. You know, I am about experimentation and pivoting. And if it makes sense to move back to Rise and Bloom, then I will. You know, if my audience tells me that's right, I will. We have to be constantly checking in with our people and checking in on our Facebook groups and checking in on our clients and mastermind students and saying, what do you want more of? What do you want less of? What's not working? You know, what problems are you having today? Everyone's problems changed in 2020. I guarantee it, right? So you're like, okay, how can I serve you in a different way? You used to want vegan food. Maybe now you need affordable vegan food, right? So I've got to pivot my business for the changing landscape. And I'm all about that.
That makes sense. And honestly, whenever I've heard you speak about Rise and Bloom on the podcast, you know, a couple of years ago and, you know, before I came to Italy and then joined this year, I've always thought of it as a women's only thing myself too in my mind. And then Ryan joined. I'm like, oh, it's all the women and Ryan, you know. So maybe now in the future years, there will be other men too. And I am very comfortable with women's only groups, like even the Italy retreat and stuff. And that's possibly because in my work with the restaurant, of course, the restaurant is closing now. But then all these years at the restaurant, I used to be the only woman. Like, I was a boss, a woman, and all the rest were men, you know, most of the time. And whenever I've had an intern or somebody working, you know, for a short while, a volunteer part time, if it's a woman, I would just spoil her. I'm like, I love you, you know. So the idea of a women's only group did appeal to me. But like you said, when you have a certain vibration, certain energy, then it doesn't matter whether, you know, it doesn't matter what gender anybody is associated with, what they feel they are. It doesn't matter because ultimately it's all about the energy. And, you know, I believe that, yes, in your group, it doesn't matter who comes in. They are all going to be uplifting people. And that much is for sure. So what about your coaching? You know, you do that too. You do a lot of one-on-one coaching. And do you plan to do more of that? Because doesn't that take a lot of energy versus doing these sessions for groups and reaching people, a wider audience at one shot, you know, between the two, what do you resonate with more? What would you be doing more of as you keep going forward?
I think that I'm very particular about my one-on-one coaching clients because I don't want that to be a large part of my time. And the people I do work with, I value so much and I love their brands. And I just want to support them because they are building something so beautiful. So that makes it worth my time because I'm so excited to be a part of their journey. But like you said, when you have group coaching or when you have like a podcast or a video series, you can reach more people. And so, or a book, you know, all of these things. So my whole career thus far, I've had a combination of all of those things, whether it's an online course, a group training, individual coaching clients. I did my book about a year ago. And I do think the combination really works and vibes with my personality because I'm not the type of person who can do the same thing every day, day in and day out. So I do love the creative vibration of having a lot. But if you're looking for general business advice, I think that one-on-one coaching is an excellent place to start because you can really, really impact people. Mm-hmm. And as you grow, you can charge more for one-on-one coaching and then charge a little less for the group coaching because you can make more doing the group coaching and affect more people. But there are certain people that I will coach forever if they need me because I vibe with them so high. And a lot of people have outgrown me and they're like, I've created all the things and now I'm on fire. I'm like, you go, girl, you know, like go do it, go do the thing. Yeah. And what's the most interesting is like, sure, I have lots of advice. I love to give it, but really it's not about me. It's about them needing permission to do the thing. So literally, this has happened multiple times now, but I'll get off a call. It'll be the end of a call with a client. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't even give you any tactical tools today. I wasn't like, okay, use this CRM service and then you're going to build this thing and you're going to track them this way. And let's look at your sales copy and like all of that. We didn't even do that. They just told me what they were going to do, and I gave them the permission to do it. And what happens with clients who are truly in their growth stage is they eventually stop needing the permission. And I'm like, good job, go fly, because they give themselves permission. And that's what a good coach, I believe, does. Now, I'll coach them forever if they need me because I'll always be there for people. But the truth is that after a few years, they're just, if they're really rising and blooming, it's like, they're good. They've got this, you know, and it's like, there you go, go fly, you know, and I love that.
Yeah. And even I took private coaching from you for a couple of months at the beginning of the year, just, you know, and it was so useful for me right at the beginning when I started off with all this. And you're right, you know, you're like, you can do this. And why don't you try that? And you know, that needing of the permission, it really, really helped because that's what set me off on my path for the rest of the year doing everything that I did. And you're so right. You know, the sign of a good coach is like somebody who can help and then who people don't have to depend on anymore. After a point, you're like, okay, I can come back. But always it's like, okay, what you have taught me has helped me go forward on my own, has given me momentum. That's like so true and so beautiful. And which again is why people need to coach more for private coaching, because it's a little different than the group coaching and you are putting the time, the effort and the passion. Because when somebody, you obviously, like you said, right, you're choosing people based on how much you are passionate about their business too. You need to believe in what they are doing. Otherwise, how can you coach them, right? Exactly. And then when their business takes off, even you are invested in it. Right? Yes. You feel like, sometimes I feel if there's a business I love, whether it's somebody who I'm coaching or even just other vegan businesses or products or things that I love, and if they do well, I feel so happy. I feel equally happy, like it's my own brand, you know.
Yes, exactly. I'm so invested in all of my clients' successes, all of the mastermind students' successes. Like, it brings me so much joy. And that's, I think, the sign of, it's like, if you vibe high off of other people's accomplishments, then this is definitely something you should go into, whether it's mastermind coaching, teaching the classes the way that you and I do, private clients, whatever it may be. But like, it's so fulfilling. And so I think that's a big part of this. And it's not for everyone. And that's okay, right? If it's not for you, then keep doing the YouTube videos or the podcasting or whatever it might be, because you don't get that automatic feedback that you do when you have people one-on-one or in the group coaching. You have more quick feedback. So I like both. I like all the different things, but see what resonates with you. You can try it all out and see what you're good at, where you shine, where you feel really good.
So true. So true. Back to the feel good factor, right? Like go with your feelings. What is your feel good factor and follow it. And yeah, that's just beautiful, Ali. And I know that you have some interesting programs coming up this year, right? You are also so passionate about imposter syndrome, you know, teaching people about that, talking about it and letting people know that, hey, you know, stop feeling this way, and we all do feel this. And that is, again, something so inspiring. And so what are all the, you know, for 2021, apart from the Rise Mastermind, what are the programs and what are the different things that you're planning to come up with?
Well, I am very, very passionate about overcoming imposter syndrome, and I have not made the master plan yet, but I know that is either a TED Talk or a book or both, because it resonates with so many people. And I just go over the 9 basic fears that people have. And the only way I can speak to it is because I've experienced them all. And then I've now worked with so many people who have experienced the same things that I kind of broke it down into, okay, this is the fear. These are the fears that we have, and these are why they're all myths, and here's how to bust them and get over them. So I feel so passionately about that. So you'll certainly be seeing something from me in that respect, whether it's a book or a talk or both. We shall see. And then I am working on 2 follow-up books to Food Heals. And I can't tell you which one is coming next, because a lot of feel-good factors have to come into play before I decide. But definitely more book writing in my future, more masterminding. Food Heals, building it up as an empire. You know, eventually I would love for Food Heals to be a place that you could go and type in an issue, whether it's a chronic disease, whether it's an emotional issue. And when you type that into the search, it'll be like the Google for holistic health and healing. What happens is you come up with articles, podcasts, videos, recipes that all answer the question that you're there very specifically. So not like a Google that searches the web, but instead searches holistic health verified sources. And so I can't say that's going to happen in 2021, but that is the ultimate goal of Food Heals, is just to be the empire where you can come and have any healing, any condition, and find healing inspiration. So we're not a doctor. We're not telling you what time to take your probiotic, but we will give you resources for the people who can do that. So if you're like, I have this chronic condition, well, here's a doctor in your town who specializes in this. And here's the story of Sandy who overcame it. So you can feel really inspired that you can do it too, right? So that's the ultimate goal. But lots of cool things coming up in 2021. I'm actually excited for it. I know it's a rough time for everyone, but I truly, truly believe that life is what we make it. And right now, we have to consciously, daily, every day choose not to be in the victim of our current circumstances, because this pandemic is affecting all of us. And we have to put up that shield. You have to turn off the news. You have to vibrate in that positivity we talked about earlier. Put on Tay Swift, shake it off. Don't let it affect you, because the more that you let that affect you, the less that you can do to serve others and help the world and do what you're meant to do. And be in that loving state where you can attract money, where you can attract love, where you can attract relationships, where you can attract the life that you want to live, even during a pandemic where I'm in LA and we're on lockdown. I don't even know if you guys are still on lockdown. I know it's been back and forth, but we're not supposed to leave the house, and it's not easy. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but you have to find each day that gratitude, that forgiveness, and be positive to attract the good things into your life. And I do believe 2021 will be a huge year of attraction.
Oh, wow. Yes. And I so agree with you. And seeing what 2020 has done, yes, it's been a difficult time in the world. But I also see, again, you know, being a part of a group like Rise and Bloom, you're seeing people only do things, build things, you know, look at the positive, again, find better ways to help people. That's all I've seen in the group, you know. So for me, 2020 has been more about growth and, you know, going inside and using the outside situation to our benefit. Using that, being forced to stay indoors, being forced to stay at home to our benefit, to go inwards, to introspect, to grow, to take, you know, even some tough decisions. And all this is because, thanks to being under lockdown also to a large part. So that's what it's all about. Like, you know, just take whatever situation that's been thrown at you and find the lesson there and see how you can use it to your benefit. That's about it.
I could not agree more. And we giggle because it's been a tough year. But yeah, it's mm-hmm. like, okay, what do you have more time for now that you don't have the commute to work or whatever it might be? What do you have more time for now that you don't have as many clients? And I know it's hard, but it's like, oh my gosh, I have more time to meditate. I have more time to exercise. I have more time to create a brand and build a business that I'm obsessed with instead of doing something, working for the man or working so hard to build someone else's dreams. Maybe now I can work on use this time to build my dreams, and I can't go out as much and the socialization part is hard, but I'm doing more Zooms or whatever it is that makes you feel good. I know it's very hard for a lot of extroverts in my life, and I happen to be an introvert, so I can deal, but I do miss my events. I miss my conferences. I miss my parties. I miss all the things, but we got to make the best of it, and we got to stay positive. And I'm just with you. Like, we can make 2021 the best year ever if we choose to do so and we do not play the victim of our circumstances.
So true. So true. And I'm very hopeful. I'm very hopeful for the upcoming year. And I feel like whatever any of us have lost or have had to let go of or will be letting go of or whatever it is that has happened with 2020, I believe it's only been a cleansing so that, you know, for 2021, it's cleared space. It's made space to attract the new things into our lives.
Absolutely. I agree. I love that.
Ali, I can just talk to you forever. And it's like as if, you know, I would love to fit everything that I've learned from you on your podcast, on your mastermind, everything into one episode.
You are too kind to me to see that.
It's like an hour, and I know that, you know, you also need to go, and probably my audience wouldn't want to listen to more than an hour because my episodes are never this long, but this has been gold. There's so much you have shared, and thank you so much for the generosity for sharing everything. And, you know, is there anything you'd like to share with everybody before we go off?
No, I mean, you are so welcome. And, you know, Susmita, you are so kind and you give me so much credit, but like you have done everything because you are the light. You are the one that has the dreams and you are fully capable. And anyone listening, it's like, look, I have gurus too. We all have people that we look up to. And it's like, you know what? Those people have people that they looked up to. Those people have struggled. So it's like when you hold people on a pedestal, it's like all it shows is that you can vibrate at the same frequency that you feel that they're vibrating at. So it's like there are no gurus. There are no celebrities. Mm. Like we're all humans having this crazy, sexy, scary human experience. Like we're all souls, right? We're all made of something else and we are here for a purpose. So if we ignore and deny that purpose, that's when we remain in depression. That's when we remain in that negativity. But if there is something keeping you up at night, I don't care if it's business. I don't care if it's singing or dancing or finance. I don't care what it could be, something so crazy that you're mom, dad, friend, family told you you could never do, or you were made fun on the playground for doing it, so you thought you couldn't do it, but your real true, I don't know, life dream is to be a gymnast or a writer or a podcaster. Like, I don't care what it is, that crazy ass dream that you have, that is your purpose. So stop suppressing it. When we suppress our purpose, that is when we deal with chronic conditions, not to mention, you know, the societal toxins and everything like that, that we have to deal with on a regular basis. That Susmita and I are, that's why we're plant-based. But it's like, also, If you suppress your goals and dreams, that is going to lead to chronic conditions. So just shine that light. Just do it. Stop caring what anyone thinks, because it doesn't matter. Be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't mind, right? Like, give up all the things in 2021 that have not served you. Let go of toxic people. Let go of toxic thinking. Let go of toxic food. Let go of toxic relationships and truly shine your light. And you can't fail. And that's the thing. We're all afraid of failure. We are constantly like looking at the past mistakes, so-called mistakes. And it's like, are we going to fail? Are we going to do it right? Are people going to judge us? Sure. They might judge us. Sure, it might be a perceived failure, but you're going to grow every single time. And so if you continually shine your light and don't give up, you cannot not succeed. That's a double negative. Then you have to succeed, right?
No, and I love the double negative.
Yeah. Okay. So you're with me. So shine that light. That's all I want to say. Like, it's like manifestation. Everyone's like, I don't know how to manifest, but now is the time to manifest. We just had that great conjunction of, what was it, Jupiter? Like, manifest it now. And if you're looking for love, cultivate a self-love practice. Love yourself, you know, the way that you desire to be loved. If you want more income, value your own worth. Look at all your accomplishments and go, wow, I am worth it, right? Respect and honor and be grateful for the money you have earned in the past. Even if your bank account has nothing right now, respect the money that you have earned. Respect the journey that you've taken to get here and know that you are valuable and worthy, that you can help people. And it's like, if you want to be healthier, every time you eat a salad or eat some greens or drink that green juice, you can vibrate at that frequency of feeling healthier every time you work out. So it's like, you can cultivate all of these practices and manifest anything you desire when you are in the feeling of having them. So put yourself in the feeling of having the things that you desire, and you literally can't fail. That's my message. I'm out.
Wow. That's a powerful, powerful message. I hope my listeners better have listened till the end, till this, because this is like pure, pure gold on top, or rather icing on the cake to the whole episode. Thank you, Ali. Well, it's been just amazing having you here, and, you know, I'm so glad we finally figured out a time. Thanks to daylight savings, our time's a little bit closer. it gets worse when, you know, it's the other time thingy that you're all in. So I'm so glad, Ali, and thank you so much for all the wisdom, all the sharing that you have done. And you are so right. You know, I again, that is something that I do admire, that, you know, being a teacher, being a guru, a guide, everything that you are, you still are very down to earth. You are still attached to your humility as well as your self-worth. You know, that balance, you know so well to do that. And that helps others, because like you said, instead of putting you on a pedestal, when all of us who are learning from you, we feel like, hey, I can do that too. I can be that too. It's not like, oh, wow, I just admire and be like, oh, I can never do it. You make people realize that they can do that too, and they can be that too. And that is like a true teacher, you know, somebody who inspires. So thank you so much for that.
You are so sweet. Thank you. No, I'm just a Southern gal from North Carolina. Like, I'm no big deal, but I appreciate everything you said. It means so much to me. And it actually helps me validate, like, oh, maybe I'm on the right path because Susmita said that, you know? So thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm in gratitude for you for reflecting that back to me. So I really appreciate you. And you're so incredible. And you are literally the epitome of doing what you love and helping so many people change their lives. So thank you for the beautiful work that you do. And I'm so excited that you have started this podcast. You're on episode 50, like, way to go. And it's only going to go up from here. Like, I can't wait to see what else you create.
Thank you so, so much, Ali. And how can people connect with you? How can they find you, follow you? And, you know, after listening to all this, of course, they'd want to be doing that. So
you're so sweet. I think on social media, I'm most active on Instagram at Allison Melody TV. AllisonMelodyTV. And all the Food Heals social medias are at Food Heals Nation. So those are probably the best ways. And then info@foodhealsnation.com if you want to email me with any questions.
Sure. This sounds wonderful. And thank you so much, Ali, for being here, being on the show with me.
Thank you, Susmita. I'm so honored to be here. And I wish we were in person, but hopefully soon after this pandemic nonsense is over, I'll be in India. You'll yes. be here. Maybe we go to Italy. I don't know. We'll do something.
Yes, we have to meet again soon. I do, you know, I'm not as big on travel as you are, though I do enjoy traveling. It's not like, oh, I can't live without it. You know, it's not the big part of my life. But yes, I do want it to be. So I'm also looking forward to things changing and to be able to travel out again and, you know, either meet you there, here, Italy, wherever.
We will manifest that.
Yes, done. I literally manifested my Italy trip after listening to you speak about it on your show. So yeah, this is nothing. This is happening.
Oh my God, I'm clapping. I love that. So much.
All right. Bye, Ali.
Bye.
Wasn't that a lovely, lovely way to end the year and end the first year of my podcast, the 50th episode? I've spoken about the Rise and Bloom Mastermind, which is now going to be the Rise Mastermind, with Ali quite a bit throughout this episode. And I meant every single thing that I said. Being a part of that mastermind group has really upped my game in 2020. I've been able to create so many things, do so many wonderful things, all because of the support, the motivation, the inspiration, and all the uplifting, positive energy that I have received as being a member of the Rise Mastermind. If you would like to join the mastermind, and if you want to create something beautiful this upcoming year, you know, all of us are switching to doing things online, and, you know, all of us are pivoting in our business ever since the pandemic. So if you need a group to share this with, to be helped by, guided by, and make some deep, beautiful friendships and connections with, then definitely join the mastermind. It's worth every paisa that you pay, and you get a lot more value out of it than you would be putting into it. I have shared a link to the mastermind in the show notes and in the blog post. Find it, click on it, and you'll be taken to the page with all the information about this whole mastermind, what Ali will be teaching us, everything that it offers, the kind of topics that get covered, the kind of value that will be provided. And you can register through that link and sign up for the mastermind group. I'm really, really looking forward to catching you as a part of the Rise Mastermind group in 2021. If you enjoyed this episode of the Feel Good Factor, I would really appreciate a like, review, subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, especially Apple Podcasts, because it'll help other people who resonate with this kind of message find the show easily. I always like hearing back from you. When you share how the message from my podcast episodes have helped you, what difference it has made in your life, it means a lot to me. So connect with me at Veganosaurus on Instagram. You can drop me a message or share, you know, your favorite episode to your stories and tag me. I would love to reshare that, repost that onto my stories, and yeah, generally, you know, connect with you and hear from you. And if you want to know more about me, the coaching that I do and everything else, then check out my website, veganosaurus.com. That is www.veganosaurus.com. So yeah, I'll catch you in the new year. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Feel Good Factor. I'm Susmita Veganosaurus, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again very soon. Bye!